Yes, hello. It's Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration again. Just want to bless you for seeking the Lord here through calling in. I'm not sure at a time like this, you're not always sure who your audience is. It's a little bit like speaking to an unknown audience, but nonetheless, if you're speaking the things that are flooding over in your heart, it doesn't really matter who's listening. And it is something that I have been seeking to maintain is this concept of speaking things that are in our heart. I do appreciate the simplicity of how Jesus would teach. And his teachings were not, highly spiritual, complicated doctrines, but they were very simple truths. And yesterday I talked about the being yoked with Jesus, illustrating that it's like being harnessed or hitched up with him, and him leading and us going where he, or pulling with him as a team of horses, and we would be one of the horses, and Jesus would be leading the team also, one of the, and so we are yoked with him. And this, and today, I would like to talk about the cross. I have wondered already, I think a lot of people have, on the mystery of the cross. It's something that is mentioned a lot. And as I was studying for this little message, I was surprised at how often the cross comes up. And I think it's twice in Matthew where Jesus is teaching on it, and twice in Mark, and twice in Luke. However, then there's more places later on where it's actually talking about Jesus' crucifixion, where the cross comes up again. But those six places is pretty much, where Jesus was teaching on it. And I don't know what the disciples thought about it at the time when Jesus was teaching on it, because that was before the crucifixion. It almost seems to me that after the crucifixion took place, that the message of the cross for the disciples, as they reflected back on what Jesus actually spoke about, I think a lot of his teachings became a little clearer for them after the crucifixion, especially the resurrection, the ascension, and then of course the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I think once they were further down the road, so to speak, I think some of the original things that Jesus spoke to them as they walked along from place to place, oftentimes in a rather casual setting, I'm assuming, where things were relaxed and, they were just walking along, or maybe they were resting under a tree, or maybe they were sitting in a house, at a friend's house, sometimes all kinds of people's houses, sometimes in a boat, sometimes on a mountaintop. And, all kinds of settings, but mostly just natural settings. They didn't have expensive buildings where they met in. They didn't have any seminars as we would know it, and more closed meetings. It was just out under the stars many a times, and where Jesus was teaching these simple truths. But I think a lot of these simple messages had a lot more meaning for the disciples after Pentecost than at the time they were spoken. And that's one of the beauties of the gospel. It has like a lingering effect where it continues to make more and more sense the more that we experience by walking it out, what he's teaching. And so, I as far as this cross subject, I'm just going to read here might have to extend this out into 2 days here. So we're looking at Matthew 10, verse 38 here to start out. And so Matthew 10, verse 38 says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And so this is in the context of the context here. If you go back to verse 32, 34, and so on, the context is confessing Jesus before men, of course, denying him and on the contrary. And then it says, "For I have come to set a man against his father and his daughter, against his mother," and that whole list. And then he goes on to say, "He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." So that is the context of this verse, where Jesus is speaking on the cross about taking up his cross. So the reason I'm bringing this up or looking at this is the question that is, what was Jesus actually talking about when he said to take up your cross? In other words, another way of saying it is, what does that mean for us? In other words, if we were to embrace that teaching, what does it mean for us? What does it actually mean? So my name is Daniel King. And so for Daniel King, what does it mean to take up my cross and follow Jesus? What does that mean for me? Am I doing that? Have I been doing that? When I come to the end of my life and Jesus asks me the simple question, "Have you taken up your cross and followed me?" What will my answer be? Will my answer be, "Yes, I have," or "No, I haven't"? Well, what is my answer? I guess just to speak bluntly here, what is this really saying? And so let's keep moving here. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And there again, "For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And there it is in the context of Jesus telling the disciples about his upcoming crucifixion, about his upcoming suffering, about his upcoming arrest, and how he's going to be handled by the people and suffer many things in Jerusalem by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and actually be killed and then be raised again. And Peter pulled him aside and said, "No, this is not going to happen." Jesus turns around and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but thou savorest the things that be of man." And so then he said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." In other words, let him deny what naturally wants to come to our human nature. "Take up his cross and follow me." So obviously taking up the cross in this case meant something other than what Peter was demonstrating. Peter was demonstrating saving your life. He was demonstrating safety. He was demonstrating making choices that would not lead to arrest, or making choices that would not lead to becoming crucified and to be handled roughly by men. And so this is a hint or a clue that we have on what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the cross. So now we're going to go to Mark 8:34. Mark 8:34. says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is the same context, pretty much the same. Peter, the situation with Peter, Jesus' rebuke, and then the teaching. So that's exactly the same as Matthew 16. Okay, now we're going to go to Mark 10:21. Mark 10:21 says, oh, and this is now the rich young ruler. Okay, Jesus looking at him, loved him. Jesus has just got done telling him, he's telling him this, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. So here again, to take up the cross for the rich young ruler, in this context, it was selling what he had and joining the band, the small band. In other words, for that rich young ruler to take up his cross would have been to sell his business, sell his property, and all his things, and then go out into the street and follow the crowd, or follow Jesus' crowd. That was what it meant for him. And so now let's keep moving here to Luke 9:23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For so whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall save it. Goes on to say, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is lost or destroyed? Whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. And there again, it's talking about Jesus predicting his death and resurrection. And it's sort of the same context as there with the one with Peter, although Peter, I don't think spoke up in this account. But so it's sort of in the same context of not denying Jesus. So let's move on to Luke 14:27. And here's a little bit of a different one. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, there was a big crowd of people following Jesus, and it almost seemed like Jesus just out of the blue just stopped, addressed the crowd. He was just walking. There's this huge crowd following him, and he just stopped, turned around, looked at them all, and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he talks about counting the costs and so on. So there it seems like Jesus was just laying it out. So the question that comes here, I think I'll stop there, but it might be wise if we would, all of us, if we would ask God what that means for us as we reflect on these six verses and their contexts. Some of them, meaning some of these verses are actually the same account, so it's not necessarily six different accounts, but if you break it up a little bit, it's the one account with the rich young ruler. It's another account with Peter's saying Jesus is not going to be walking into this trap. And another account with Jesus addressing the multitude. I think there was one more. I can't think of it right now. But basically, the question is, what does that mean for us today? So there's all these statements about not being able to follow Jesus unless we take up the cross. So why is that so important? Why was Jesus saying that? And what does it mean for me and you? Are you taking up the cross as it says here? Laying all else aside from the from Scripture, our other duties aside, and just focusing on this simple truth, is this happening or is it not? And the wisdom of taking a look at this simple truth. May the Lord guide us.